This past week, I had the experience of attending the Vacation Bible School. To say the least, this was an extremely rewarding time for me. I found my life being filled with the joy of observing the innocence and the enthusiasm of these young children. It was like being drawn into another world, which we as adults yearn for. A time free from anxiety, worry, and burdens of life, free from the latest news. What we would consider to be the simplest experiences for us became a new and wonderful experience for these young lives. They were not hung up with the preconceived thoughts and inhibitions, and were open and eager to experience and learn new things. You know, it was really amazing to me to see how they let their imagination take the simplest things and translated them into their world of make-believe. For instance, two blue towels spread on the floor became a lake in which they jumped on it, and they imagined that water was splashing all around them and out onto those surrounding it. And this, they found joy. Two blue towels on the floor. You could see that their eagerness to learn and do things opened up a whole new and wondrous world for them. Their eyes and smiles told the tale of happiness and joy. Am I true? Right? Finding a seashell in the sandbox or being awarded the chance to pick from a selection of seemingly worthless selection of prizes brought a sense of joy to them, for they became treasures in their lives. But the things were not what was important to them. It was the recognition of accomplishment that was written across their faces. They were a reminder that just what we consider to be the small things in life can bring the most joy. Like time spending in nature, hearing the insects and the birds, experiencing a beautiful sunset, or just the magnificence of the ocean waves, or just the simple beauty of a flower. Although they had distinctively different personalities, they enjoyed being with each other and sharing what they had. They seemed to not only celebrate their own accomplishments, but the accomplishments of others. When one of them seemed to falter, they did not make fun of them, but it was written on their faces that they wanted them to succeed also. Their relationship had no hang-ups as to what they thought the other child should be or do. They were not bothered by the differences among them, but seemed to take it all as natural and accepted each other as they were. To see these children, who had not as yet been confronted with the negatives of the world, brought to mind that we were not born to hate, we were not born to be divisive, and we were not born to seek revenge. You know, throughout the week, I couldn't help but to hear the words of the song from the musical South Pacific. You got to be taught to hate and fear. You got to be taught from year to year. It's got to be drummed in your dear little ear. You got to be carefully taught. You got to be taught to be afraid of people whose eyes are oddly made and people whose skin is different shade. You got to be carefully taught. You got to be taught before it's too late, before you are 6 or 7 or 8, to hate all the people your relatives hate. You've got to be carefully taught. You know, this song is all too true. Almost tragically, as the years go by, these vacation Bible school children will come face to face with the realities of mankind's world, where division separates people. They will come to know that in order to extend their uninhibited love of their childhood, they will have to make many sacrifices. Sacrifices they will have to make. This uninhibited love is the love of God, which we as followers of Christ strive to live. But you know, it is not an easy road to travel, for it faces all degrees of challenges along the way. This is what Paul writes about to the Romans, where he equates this life in Christ as a living sacrifice. Of course, this was very evident in the life of the early church and the Christian martyrs throughout history and even today in the Middle East. With this in mind, then why do we direct our children into a life of God's love, knowing that it may at times demand sacrifice and even pain and suffering? Although sacrifice, especially of self-pursuits, are a part of Jesus' message, when one core values, beliefs, and even way of life is threatened, this is far from masochism or form of some kind of sadistic state of being. This is because the whole foundation of Christianity is built upon love. God's love for us and our love for God, our love for others, and our love for ourselves. Our own God-given life. Love is the most positive, joyous, self-fulfilling, and uplifting experience known to the human life. What is better than love? It certainly is not money. It's not pride or power or revenge, hatred, pursuit of possessions, or fame, for they can be taken away or lead to self-destruction. There is no higher attribute and experience known to mankind than love. There is none. Paul again writes, "If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing." You know, even the attribute of sacrifice, when not instilled by love, is for naught. But it is important to note that love in and of itself is a sacrifice. To love is to give of oneself to another. One definition of love is the desire to become one with another. And if it would be possible to physically merge with another and become one, this is the ultimate extreme desire of love. Isn't that the ultimate of all sacrifices? To die so that others may live? You know, there is little doubt that in a loving relationship, there is the desire and drive to give that person all that we can give them. We are willing to give up and sacrifice even our own wishes, our own dreams, our possessions, and wants in order to live our love for that individual or individuals. You know, any successful marriage, any successful family, any successful friendship or society has this as a living reality, love. We do not consider this to be a sacrifice or a denial of one's wants or even masochistic way of life. Absolutely not. Rather, it is the greatest experience of satisfaction and joy which we can possibly know. Now, Paul further states, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." You know, his will is for us to reach that goal in life in which we are motivated by his love. This is the ultimate good and acceptable and perfect life. By giving our children and young people the nurturing ground of love as found in God's love, they will know that what it means to be transformed by this love as they face the real challenges of life. This is why Sunday school, the Vacation Bible School, and especially having this love shared and lived within the family, is also very important. The early years of life are the nurturing grounds for which gives the basis for the traveling of the road of life ahead. You know, the will of God is within our grasp of reality. When we find the oneness of love with God and our fellow man, Paul states, "For as in one body we have many members, and not all members have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another." Sound familiar? Is this the definition of love? This is what I saw being experienced this week by these children. It will be an experience they will long remember. I can guarantee you that. What greater gift can we give them? They will reflect back upon this past week, later in life, when they hear these words of Paul. "And now faith, hope, and love abide. These three. And the greatest of these is love. Love with all of its joys and even sacrifices is the path of life which leads to God's eternal kingdom. This is the good news which Jesus gave to his disciples, who were to be the first building stones for the temple of God's created kingdom on earth, of which Peter was the first stone to be laid next to the cornerstone of Christ. Now, we are that building stone which gives the foundation of the good news to others, and especially to our children and young people. In turn, we realize Jesus' words. Truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Oh, what an experience it was this past week to be with these children. therein. You see the good news. And therein is the foundation being laid for the future. So I wish to thank those who were so involved in that program. And Anne, who spent literally hours upon hours and hours of preparation. Kristen and Kelly. I thank you on the behalf of all of us. Amen.